one of the things I really like to emphasize with the course is that in the directions and the guidelines, it's talking about, you might close the next one that's out there, that you don't have to believe the ideas. And you don't have to accept the ideas, and you don't have to welcome the ideas. And the longer I've studied it, the more I realize how true that is and how helpful that is, because what keeps most people from being able to use the course is they think they have to believe it first. And so they spend all their time trying to decide whether or not they can accept it and whether or not they believe it. But what happens with the course is when you use it, you'll see that it works. And the use of it shows you that it's true, not the analyzation of it. And I always add that over and over again because I see so many new people in the course drive themselves berserk analyzing the Course in Miracles. It's not a book that you can analyze, because if you do, what you're really trying to do usually is fit it into your old thought system. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't fit. It literally doesn't fit. It's actually an entirely different way of thinking from the way that we think. So to try to fit it into your old thought system, your old thought system won't work. It's more like there's two thought systems, and then you choose which one that you're going to use. One is based on separation. The other one is based on unity and oneness. One is based on love. One is based on fear. So the Course teaches that the world's thought system is essentially rooted in separation and fear. And so if a person is in separation and fear, and they're trying to fit the thoughts of love and unity into the thought system of separation and fear, they don't fit. And so it tells us that we have another part of us called the Holy Spirit, which is our right mind, which is the mediator between the truth and the fear thought system that we have learned. And that through the text and through the workbook, that's how you're taught how to make that transition from the fear thought system to the unity and love thought system. But it's not going to be something that you can listen to and then usually make that leap without doing the intervening study or application of the ideas, which is another thing that's very popular when people, they feel like they're going to just listen and they're going to, in their mind, reason it out enough to make it fit. And it's not really, it doesn't really work like that. So it's almost like the best thing that we could do for just a minute would be to almost suspend what we think the truth is for a second and just say, hey, I'm going to listen to this other thought system and I'm going to see if I can apply this other thought system. I've been doing it for, you know, 27 years, and the way my experience and the way my peace goes now is infinitely easier than it was with the other thought system. But it's totally subjective, because none of you are with me all day. It's like I'm not with you all day. So if you look at it from the outside, you usually miss the advantage of the Course, because what it's doing is it changes your interpretation and your perception of your experience so that you keep your inner peace more. And in keeping your inner peace, you can hear your guidance more. And you can see how that would be a subjective experience. That's not, you know, that has nothing to do with what kind of car you drive, where you live, how you look. Nothing, none of that has anything to do with the Course. So if a person judges whether or not they're getting the Course in Miracles by purely external shifts, then sometimes they miss it. And I'm not saying you don't have external shifts. I've seen things happen for me that I had to call a miracle in terms of how it tended to work out over and over and over again as a result of studying the Course. So even though it's not talking about those things, I've definitely seen that as being a side effect of focusing in on it, which makes sense again, because the basic idea behind New Thought, and people think used to call it New Age, but it's simply that it's basically resting on the idea of unity and oneness, and it's basically resting on the idea that your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs create your reality. That's the one, that tends to be the one idea that kind of permeates all so-called New Thought material, is that just your consciousness and your mind creating your experience. So it makes sense that if you had a more peaceful mind, you'd have more peaceful thoughts. If you got more peaceful thoughts, you create more of a peaceful reality. So it's almost like the physical reality shift is just a side effect of allowing yourself to have more inner peace. And certainly, when you think about we being programmed by what we tell ourselves all day, what we see in the media all day, what we talk about to other people all day, then it's obvious that if a person is going to change their perception, that they're going to have to really do some type of investment in that simply because the length of time that you get the other programming is so much greater than the length of time. We come here for an hour and maybe hear a little of it and then argue with the rest of it. And then we expect to walk out and our entire reality shifts. And that's another thing that amazed me was that when you would think about the length of time that we get programmed in the fear thought system versus the length of time that I practice this, to see the result that I would get from not even having 100% commitment would blow my mind. So it's amazing how you can study a little bit of the truth sincerely, and sometimes it'll seem like it'll supersede all that other programming that we get. And just like anything else, you will start to get in the habit of thinking in a new way, and then it won't be something you have to stop and go, how should I look at this? It'll get to the point, like for me now, in many situations, it just, that's the way I look at it. It's not I got to stop. You know, so like me learning a new language. You know, you take the new language and then most people then try to interpret it into English and then do what it says. When you get to the point, you skip that whole interpretation into English thing because you realize it's just another interpretation of a chair. So you don't have to take it to English. It's just another name for chair, really, basically. So that's what the course is. The course is a language. And it's a language. And when you learn that language, then you'll start to speak that language and you start to live that language and you start to draw other people that speak that language. And for a while, you'll be able to speak two languages, the language of the world and the language of the course, but you'll become less and less interested in speaking the language of the world. You'll find that you're using that language just to communicate with people who still use that language. But it's not your native language anymore. So this is about the rules for decision from a Course in Miracles perspective. And it was saying that the first thing that we needed to do was decide what kind of day we want to have, what we would like to happen. And then it says we should follow that up with today I'm not going to make any decisions by myself. And what that means is today I'm not going to make any decisions without checking into the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to make any decisions without checking into my higher self. I'm not going to make any decisions without checking into God. And it says that the reason that we do that, I'm just doing a quick review of last week. He says the reason that we do that is because when you make a, he says what we used to do is decide what the answer is and then ask for it. Or we decide how we think it should go and then we'll ask Spirit for the way to do it. And then if Spirit doesn't give us the answer or the answer comes back different from the way that we decided that it is, the Course says we get angry and we get upset. Sometimes all of our prayers are being answered, but they're being answered different from the way we thought it should be answered, so therefore we don't even see that the prayer is being answered. We've all had relationships, I'm sure, where you were given a lot of love and appreciation maybe to a person that didn't appreciate it. And they're walking around saying, oh, I really wish I had some love. And then you are right there giving them lots of love and acknowledgement, and they're not seeing it. You know why? Because they decided it don't look like you. It doesn't look like what you're giving them. They got it in their mind who it should look like, what it should look like, where it should be coming from. So therefore, even though the prayer is being answered, they don't perceive it because they've already made up their mind how it should work. And so the Course is saying that's true too. And then it reduces everything really simply. It says there are basically two plans that people in the world are using. One plan is what outside myself needs to change for me to be happy. The other plan is I'm taking responsibility for my experience. Those are the two plans. They work out a lot of different ways, but they're basically those two plans. And if you listen to people, you know which plan they're using. If they're using the plan of outside myself as the answer, then you know at some point you're probably going to be blamed for whatever is not going right because they believe it's outside of themselves that makes them happy. If it's a person that's taking responsibility for their happiness, then when something goes wrong, they're going to check in and see what they could do differently rather than trying to blame something outside of themselves. Now, who do you think would be the easiest person to have a relationship with? Mm-hmm. Which one?
The one taking responsibility.
Okay. So in order for me to attract a person like that, I need to be a person like that. It's really just that simple. The Course says, I love this line in there that the Course says, the way is not hard, it's just very different. But this isn't hard, it's just different. And it's the difference that is the challenge. So, if you come up with step three on page 626, it says, this is your major problem now. You still make up your mind and then decide what you should do. He says, and what you hear may not resolve the problem as you saw it first. When you read the Course like a conversation, and when you read it together, you finally hear it. When you read it by yourself, sometimes it just sounds like gobbledygook. Mm-hmm. You know, or you'll notice when I read it, you'll hear it. I've heard people say that, you know. You know why? because I accept it. But someone's reading something that they don't understand or believe, nobody gets it. That's why I don't do the Course in Miracles thing of passing the book around the circle and everybody read a paragraph. I'd be ready to shoot myself about 15 You know what I'm talking about? Don't you hate those classes? That a bunch of people are sitting around reading something they do not understand the least bit what they're reading. And you can't, you know, the Course says that the conviction of the miracle giver can sustain the miracle receiver. So if someone's talking to you from conviction, you get it more than when they just talk in words. And when I talk to you, I'm talking to you from conviction. I'm not talking to you from just meaningless words. And so that makes a difference. But he says he can sustain the receiver for a while, but ultimately the receiver's got to do some acceptance for themselves. And this year, I'm going to be moving faster and deeper in this because I want to go faster and deeper. And plus, you're about talking about 2012. I think it's 2008 that we're going to see major planetary shifts. I think by 2012 it'll be done. I think that's why they're saying 2012. that's what everything is. Whatever's happening is going to be done because everything is divided into two camps. The camp of the people who are going to try the old way one more time and see if they can really get what's never worked to work, because we know what hasn't worked does work when you try a certain number of times. And then there are the people who are saying, I've had enough, I've reached my limit, and I'm ready to do something different no matter what. And I want to experience love in my life and peace in my life. And so that camp is going to create another world for themselves. And their vibration and their consciousness will change. And then whatever is about to happen will not affect them the way that it would affect people who are still in the fear-based consciousness. I mean, that's just a fact. You know, we read story after story of stuff like a plane crash happening, there's one person that survived. Mm-hmm. Why? There's something about their consciousness that they weren't ready to make that shift yet. So no matter what people are saying about what's going to happen in the world, if your consciousness is clear and it's not your destiny and you're in your heart, your experience is going to be different. It's not going to be the same. So if the Course tries to use the law of self-preservation to our benefit, it takes our desire, innate desire to look out for ourselves, and it uses it to our advantage by saying, okay, if you really want to look out for yourself, this is what you do. First thing you do is you don't make any decision about yourself. You don't make up your mind and then decide to ask what to do. And then he says, if you do that, like he says in step three, he says, this is your major problem now. You still make up your mind and then decide to ask what you should do. And what you hear may not resolve the problem as you solve the problem first. Getting this other answer, this leads to fear, because this other answer contradicts what you perceive, and so you feel attacked and therefore angry. And he says there are rules by which this won't happen, but it, and this is important, it does happen at first. He's saying while you're learning how to have a new perception, you're going to get mad sometimes, because what you hear from the truth is going to be different from what you believe. So that's a kind of interesting statement when you think that most people, when they're studying the truth, they think they're supposed to feel good all the time about everything that they hear. And the truth is, if you're really hearing it, it's probably sometimes going to bring up anger because it's not what you want to hear. If I'm convinced that it's the problem, but my mate's the problem, I do not want to hear I'm responsible for what I'm going through. I just don't want to hear that.
Because you don't know what to do about it.
And it's funny that you know even less what to do about it if it's seen as them. That's the funny. I mean, everybody's funny, it's everybody else's fault, but to me, it's like, that's stupid, because that takes it completely out of your control. Because you don't have any control over anybody else that's seen as a separate being from you. But if you tell me that I got something to do with it, then you're telling me that there's a possibility that I could shift it. But if I say it's all on you, I can't. So that's the kind of common sense stuff that people need to think about. There's no advantage to seeing the fault as being women, men, outside myself, or something like that. There's no advantage. So he says, all during the day, he says, this does occur. He says there are rules by which it won't happen, but it does occur while you are learning how to hear. That's what the Course is teaching us. It's teaching us how to hear. He says, throughout the day, at any time you think of it and have a quiet moment of reflection, tell yourself again the kind of day you want. Tell yourself the kind of feelings you would have and the things you want to happen to you, which I do all day, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Think about it. We always talking about, boy, I'd like to have this. This is how I'm feeling. This is what I want to happen to me. This is what I'd like to experience. So really the book is only saying do what you do all the time.
Just be awake.
Just be conscious of it. And then it says, and when you get through, you go, if I make no decisions by myself, this is the day that will be given me. If I make decisions with the truth in me, this is the day that will be given me. Even though a person might be asking for a certain thing that they think they want in order to have the kind of day that they want, what the Course says is what you're really asking for is a certain experience. And you think the thing that you're asking for is the thing that's going to bring you the experience. I want to go to a Broncos game. That's what I'm focusing on, let's say a person is asking for. But what they really want is the experience of joy that they think they're going to have if they go to that game. They really want that experience of happiness that they get from watching football. So the truth is they're asking for an experience. And the thing they're asking for is the thing they think is going to bring them the experience. So when a person tells you what they want, they're just telling you the way they think their peace or happiness and joy is going to come. Right? So the Course says, why don't you cut out the middleman and just go straight to the joy? You might not have money for a Broncos ticket, but you can certainly have that joy that you think going to a Broncos game is going to give you, because that comes from within. Because who decides to feel good if it's a touchdown? It's you. Because the people on the opposing team mad. So the same thing, right? So the same thing has happened, right? So what was different? The way you chose to interpret it. So that's what the book is trying to get you to see. Well, that's true in every area of your life. It never is the touchdown or the physical thing that's making you happy. It's the decision you made about it because you decided that thing was going to make you happy. So the Course is like, well, how can I show you how to do that more and more and more in your experience? Okay, so he says, if you tell yourself, if I make no decisions by myself, this is the day that will be given me. He said these two procedures, not making any decisions by yourself, telling yourself that if you make no decision, no, this day will be given me in case you do get angry. He said these two procedures practiced well will serve to let you be directed without fear. And then you go, you say, well, how can I be directed without fear and resistance? Well, he says, because opposition will not first arise and then become a problem in itself. Most of the time, rather than directly teaching, I'm dealing with the resistance that people have to what they're hearing. So very little of what's being said is a direct teaching. You see what I'm saying? It's like you might want to tell your child something, but you're spending more time trying to get past your child's resistance to listening to you than the information you're trying to give to your child. So the Course is saying the first thing we want to do is do these procedures so that the opposition and anger won't come up in the first place for us to be fighting against. So it says, there will be times when you judged already. Now when you hear the answer, it will what? Provoke attack. Unless you quickly straighten out your mind to want an answer that will work. The Course is written as if every part of it is a definition of what it's just said. Like the answer is that sentence that goes, now the answer will provoke attack. What do you mean? Unless you quickly straighten out your mind. What does that mean? To want an answer that will work. Straightening out your mind isn't figuring it out. Straightening out your mind is going, you know what? I don't know. I want an answer that will work. Now you got a straightened out mind. My ego used to say, a straightened out mind means when you can explain to me how the airplane works and I can figure it all out, then I'm willing to take the flight. You see what I'm saying? I want an answer that will work. Buy the freaking ticket, give it to the person, and get on the plane. That's an answer that will work, and you'll be able to fly to California. But if you need to know how the engine operates, it'll be a long time before you take the flight. The same thing is true about this flight. What do? Well, I won't make any decisions by myself. Okay? Being certain that this has happened, if you feel unwilling to sit by and ask to have the answer given you, be certain what will happen. What has happened? Well, you've already made your mind up. If I'm not willing to ask my higher self what to do, if I don't take that step to go, let me check in, and people kind of look at me strange when I say that. They'll make suggestions, and I'll say, well, let me check in with spirit and then get back to you on that. Because I found that it's usually not my spiritual self that speaks first, it's my ego that speaks first. And it's a popular idea in the world that it's always go with your first mind. And the Course is saying that's the last one. Because if you were to really be honest with yourself, your biggest errors have happened with your first mind, not your second one. You saw that person and you went, I gotta have it. That was your first mind. Later on you go, what did I do that for? You know, we'll say something, we'll go, well, why did I say that? It's not the first mind. It's the one that's after that, the second, third, fifth, sixth, tenth, twelfth man that you want to think about. So the Course then says, if you're not willing to sit back and ask to have the answer given you, he says that means you've decided by yourself. And if you decided by yourself, you can't see the question. And he says now you need a quick restorative before you ask again. So then it says go back. Remember once again today you won't recognize that something has occurred that's not part of it. So let's say we've gotten to that point that we said we wanted to have a certain kind of day, but now something has happened that's not what we wanted to happen. That's karma. Then it goes, then realize that you must have asked the question by yourself. You must have asked yourself something and then answered it yourself. If he says that something is happening that you don't want to happen, it means you've asked yourself something and you have answered it. Now, the way that it tends to work is I'll ask for something, then I'll make up that God told me to answer, and then I'll say that it was God that told me to do that. I don't know about y'all, but that used to be my old use. Like if it was something I want to do, I just make it be God's will. You know, so I could just take, because they said it on the paper, then I read it when I went down, and then you know, the truth is, you really have decided that's what you want to do, and now you're looking for justification to do that.
I'm telling you,
it's the justification thing is a big thing. If you've ever had a relationship that's completed with somebody and you tried to do it in a peaceful way, it tests you a lot, because a lot of times to the mind is like, if we're really getting along peacefully, why should we separate? But the truth is, there were problems, but you just were conscious enough to know what you needed to do it different. So there's no need to attack each other the way we used to do in order to feel justified. So sometimes in order to separate, we feel like you have to have justification. So then you want to attack the person some kind of way, and so you can feel justified in doing the separation, because that's how we do it. I'm not speaking to you because I got a good reason, but it's different from I just decided we shouldn't speak right now, but you totally cool. See, to the ego, that doesn't make any sense, because to the ego part of the mind, there's always got to be some kind of attack to justify separation. But sometimes the court says you separate to heal, because you can't see the person correctly as long as you're right in their face. And you need to get back off of them to see them correctly. So your body's being with the person is not a relationship. And we're taught at the level of the world that you're in a relationship with somebody if your body's together all the time. But there are many people that got their bodies together that never communicate and they're not in a relationship. But their bodies are together. Like most of them. You know, that's like most relationships, you know. Like we said, the dining dead in the restaurants. You know, they're sitting up there and they're eating and they never say anything to each other and they never look at each other the whole time they're sitting up there. Have you seen them? Have you been there?
I've been there.
You know, right. So a relationship, there's some level of communication happening, not just your bodies being together. So he says if something's happened in the day, and it's not something that you wanted to happen, he said, then realize that you've asked a question by yourself. You must have said an answer in your terms. So, like, again, if you don't understand what it's saying, it says you asked a question by yourself. And he says, what does that mean? It means you must have said an answer in your terms. What does that mean? You need to say, I have no question, I forgot what to decide. Now, as soon as something happens that I didn't want to happen, it takes a lot of training to go, oh, instead of going, what did you do to me, to go, I have no question, I forgot what to decide. Somehow or another, I've asked a question and answered it by myself. How do I know that? Because something's happening in this day that I didn't want to happen. What is this happening in this day that I didn't want to happen? What's happening in this day that I didn't want to happen is I lost my peace. It's not saying what happened in this day, this event that I wanted to happen didn't go exactly the way I wanted it to happen. It's saying what I didn't want to happen was a lack of peace. That's what's happened. The thing is just what I used to make me feel that way. Everybody with me on that? So, of course, there are going to be things that happen on the physical level during the day that may not always be what we wanted to happen on the physical level. So it's not talking about that. It's not saying if you make no decisions by yourself all day long, everybody's going to act out for you like a puppet. Which is what we want. Right? But, you know, at the level of the ego, what it's saying is, what do you really want? What I really want is peace and love and joy and happiness. What I really want is safety. So the thing that didn't happen today was, for some reason right now, I've lost my peace. That's the thing that's happened today that was not what I wanted to happen. So we're actually moving from form, which is, I wanted my boss to tell me what a good job I did on that project yesterday, to content, which is, I want to have peace all day. See, that's different. Saying what I want to happen to me all day, I can say I would like to go to a great play and then I'd like to take a trip. All that's great. But why do I want to do that? Because of the peace and the joy I think that's going to give me. So what I'm always asking for is content. I'm not just asking for form. So So I'm upset. That means something happened today that I didn't want to happen, which was the loss of my peace. So if that's the case, I need to say I have no question after God what to decide. He says, if you say that, this cancels out the terms of the answers you've set, and that lets the answer show you what your question must have really been. Now, I got a lot of resistance, he says. You got a lot of resistance. He says, well, number 7 says, well, try to observe this rule without delay, despite your opposition, right? So that loops back to what I say at the top of the class. You don't have to believe the ideas. You know, okay, so I don't like what you just told me. Does that really change the truth of it, though? If I tell you something is the way I really feel, the fact that you don't like it, the fact that you're opposing it, does that really change anything about the truth of it? No. So when you begin to wake up, you practice the truth even if you feel opposition, because you know the opposition doesn't have anything to do with the truth of it. So I don't repress my feelings. I was telling a friend of mine that last night when we were headed up to Gypsy Nation. You know, it's like, so this is a dance community that heals through dance. They have the same purpose we have here, but they do it through movement. And it's very important to me to move my body and not just for my truth to be a head trip, you know. And it's really healing. And I was saying one of the main things that I go through in terms of all these years of studying the course is that it doesn't look like people expect it to look when you really start to recognize the truth. It's like it's weird. It's like the deeper I get into it, the more I realize that you can't judge the consciousness of a person by their behavior. Because a person could be completely conscious and be expressing their feelings and not having all of their feelings. It's like a baby in a way. It's like how a baby will let you know how they feel because that's how they feel in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. So just because a person is being conscious, growing in consciousness, if I feel anger, then I'm not going to pretend I don't feel it in order to be spiritual, which is what beginners do. They say being spiritual means always pretending that you're always feeling light and joy and peace, right? So, but when you become more conscious, you realize that's the worst thing in the world you can do as far as ultimately feeling peace. You need to be honest with yourself at all times about how you feel at any given moment. So what happens if I say to somebody, well, they say, how do you feel? I say, well, you know, today I feel really angry about such and such a thing. Well, what happens usually if they know me in this role, they'll go, I can't believe that you get angry or something like that. Or want to correct me. Mm-hmm. They want to immediately tell me why what I'm thinking isn't true and how it shouldn't be that way and how I should look at it. So that's how an unconscious person responds. An unconscious person always wants to fix everything and everybody. So if you're around a person that's not conscious, it's best not to share how you feel, as odd as that may sound.
Yeah, because it's really frustrating.
Because all they're going to do is either reinforce what you're telling them, or they're going to fix you, or they're going to see you that way long after you just let the feeling go through you and you've forgotten about it. That's why you were honest about it. So you could just let it pass. Oh, I'm feeling like this right now, but since I know I'm responsible for my feelings, then I know there's another way I'm going to look at it, and if I don't try to stop it, that anger is going to go right through me. See, that's the way it is when you begin to wake up. But if you send it to somebody who doesn't feel good about expressing their anger or been taught not to express their anger, or they're supposed to pretend it's not there, then they immediately feel defensive and they feel a need to get you out of that state or to tell you what's wrong with that state. So that's why you will start to use discernment. You'll find that with people who are still in the fear-based thought system, you'll probably be encouraging and quiet. You'll be a combination of how can I join you in what you want to achieve and see you as achieving your goal. And pretty much I'm going to be pretty quiet about the way I look at things, because I know that the way I look at things is probably going to trigger your fixing mechanism. And if I feel like expressing it, great. But if I don't, great. Because you know what? It really doesn't matter what you think about how I feel. So it's okay if I share and it's okay if I don't. But I just need to be honest with myself. I need to tell myself the truth about how I'm feeling all the time. When you start lying to yourself, that's where the pain starts. It's one thing for me not to share something with you, But if I'm pretending that I'm not angry, now I got a problem. I might tell you I'm not angry, but if I'm telling myself I'm not angry and I'm angry, now I got a problem. So I want you to ask yourself, how many times a day do you pretend that you don't feel what you feel with yourself? You tell yourself that you're not feeling upset about something you're feeling upset about. Because that repressed thought is what will produce that pain in that situation that causes pain. So I want to stop here for a second and throw it open to the group for any kind of comments or questions or discussion.
And telling yourself doesn't make it real, more real than...
No, that's a popular New Age misconception. for me to say that the glasses are here on this table does not make it any more real. I'm just witnessing to something that's already occurred. The glasses are laying here on the table.
So if I have an awareness of something, I'm really not very comfortable with it, mm-hmm. but I acknowledge that that is the reality, and I just go on about my business.
You acknowledge that that's the way you feel.
That's the appropriate response.
You acknowledge that's the way you feel, and then you ask if there's another way that you can look at that.
Yeah.
Don't forget part two.
Right.
Yeah, you acknowledge how you feel, and then you become open to another way of looking at it. Yeah. Yeah.
For me, the looking at the baby thing really works, you know, is looking at how small children react to things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of the Buddha, who's the guy who does that does all the speaking?
Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm.
And how he's so childlike.
Mm-hmm.
And he acts very childlike,
mm-hmm.
and does very childlike things. So maybe becoming more childlike.
I pray that we do. I pray that we do. I pray that I would love to be around adults who had the wisdom of adults, but that same excitement about life like a little child. Mm-hmm. What I have a challenge with dealing with imposter myself is we so-called get the wisdom of being adults, but we got all the fear of the world. So we're not a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're too busy being defensive to really be fun. You know, and that to me, childlike means approaching my world with a sense of wonder and a sense of adventure and a sense that something new could happen today. I can remember being a child going, waking up in the morning, going, you know, like wondering, what the heck am I going to get into today? You know, what's going to happen? You know, and then by the time you get, the average person gets to be the age I am now, they don't do nothing because they think they already have done it and they screwed up and something bad happened. So they're scared to do anything. Not realizing that if you really changed your mind and you really are a new person now, then you're going to give yourself a different experience of what you do than you did when you were full of anger, fear, and misperception. So you could go back and do the exact... You could have a marriage in fear that was a disaster. And then you could have a marriage in love that would be the most wonderful thing you've ever let yourself experience. You wouldn't write out marriage, but some people do. They go, well, because that marriage didn't work out, I'll never get married again. Well, are you the same person you were when you were in that marriage? Well, no, I've been doing a lot of work on myself. Well, don't you think that's going to attract to you a different kind of relationship? But if you're afraid, you won't do it, you know. And then if you do make a mistake, just get a divorce. Go to somebody else. Do something different. Just okay, so you made two mistakes. So you made three mistakes. But I don't think there are mistakes. I think you just learned as much as you could from that person at that time, and then y'all moved on to something different. That's the way Course teaches us to look at relationship separation. I'd rather look at it that way than think it means I can't ever have a good relationship. No.
Something's wrong with
them. Yeah. Exactly. No, we learned as much as we could from each other right now. You cool, I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to make each other bad. But that's the way this fear thought system does, right? You're horrible. You can't do relationships. I love that one, you can't make commitments. I don't think there's any such thing as that. I just think there are people who can't make commitments to things they can't make commitment to. Because it's not what their heart is into. Or it doesn't feel safe for them. Or it doesn't resonate in terms of who they are, you know. I couldn't make a commitment in the relationship if somebody expected me to do it the way the world does it. And I was saying just like a man who couldn't make commitments. I know I couldn't make a commitment to a woman who believes that marriage is complete limitation and control and projection and blame. I don't care what she presented me with. Why? Because that's not what I'm about. So to enter into a relationship with somebody that think what I'm doing and what I'm about is insane would be crazy. So I think that you're conscious enough not to make a commitment to something you know in your heart isn't what's serving you. But the world will say you can't make a commitment. But the Course is saying make a commitment to the truth. Make a commitment to yourself. Make a commitment to God. That's who you need to make the commitment to. You know, that's what I'm doing now. Because I've noticed that people come and go in my life, but I'm always there. Damn it, you? Yeah, I'm the common denominator in my life, so I'm going to make my first commitment to me. It's like I've already made one, actually. I can't get away from me when I try. My commitment is 100% to being Earl Purdy for whatever reason, you know. So I need to get a boy a break. I need to get a boy a break. I advise you to give yourself a break, too. And stop, some peace, and stop being around people who witness back to you what's wrong with you. Yeah. Mm. And sometimes it can be hard when it's really close people, close relatives, close, you know, even your own children, your own parents.
Somebody you've known forever,
you know. But it doesn't make any difference. It's the same rules apply. If just because you're my mama, if you're abusing me, I'm not going to visit you.
Really?
I'm not. Yeah, just because you're my mama, I think I need to get back off of you, see you differently, do some forgiving, do some healing. I don't need to call you until I don't feel like it's a sacrifice, if at all possible. If at all possible. And if my guilt is too great, then I need to go visit you. If I'm going to have more guilt not visiting you than visiting you, then I need to go visit you. You know. But cut down on the stuff that you do that shoots, alters, and gathers. So you might not be able to do it all at first, but kind of gradually cut out the shoulds, the shoulds. I should do this, I got to do this, I ought it. Should be, I desire it, I want it. I want to do this, I desire to do this, I love to do this, I'm glad to do this, this is what I want to do. You know?
Because a small child would never ask, should I get into this or should I?
Well, yeah, a lot of stuff they do, they just don't know no better, too, though. I mean, I got some admiration for a child, but it's too limited. You know what I'm saying? Because really, they don't know. Really, I don't see a big difference between them. It's like people say children are so innocent. I don't see children as being any innocent than an adult. I really don't. You know, kids do the same thing that adults do. If they don't get their way, they scream and holler and shout and get mad, and they get mad, and they don't say, hey, it's my responsibility. They go, it's your fault, Mom. You know, so I don't see a child really using any different kind of an attitude than an adult. It's just, theirs is just less hidden. I admire them for their honesty about their ego, but they got an ego. You know, I mean, I'm glad I survived elementary school. In junior high school, those were cruel times of life. I don't know about y'all, but those were not like I was meeting all these little heavenly little angels when I was in the fifth grade and sixth grade. I wasn't. So I see us all as innocent. I don't see just children as innocent. You know? So anyway, why would I want to just see them as innocent and see myself as not innocent? That doesn't make much sense to me. Mm-hmm. Why don't I want to exclude myself? Why? I know why I feel guilty, because I didn't do something the way the world said I should do it. I mean, what are morals anyway? Morals are just agreed upon ways of behavior that we've all come up with together that vary from culture to culture, society to society. So most people are feeling guilty about man-made laws. They're not feeling guilty about divine law. They're feeling guilty about society's rules. That's not real. You know, a woman is feeling guilty because her skirt's 3 inches short. That's stupid. That has nothing to do with God. That's society's thing. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, most of the stuff that people are feeling guilty about absolutely have nothing to do with anything real. It's just stuff that we made up, that we're projecting on each other. And some people find it out at an early age and they're called the rebels. They're just the children that wake up and go, this is dumb. And then they wonder why people even adhere to those rules. The cool people are making up their own rules that are not harmful to others, but also putting divine law in it. It's like, to me, that's two people who decide to have the kind of relationship that works the best for them, regardless of what society says. So to me, that's an enlightened relationship, not somebody that's trying to live according to an outside view of what they should be like that even the people who made it up aren't living by, which is the case in most cases. Is this true, isn't it? Don't y'all say that?
Yeah.
So I want the rebels. I like the rebels. I like to be around rebels. Yeah, they're the fun. They're fun. Mm-hmm. The loving rebels, right?
Yeah.
I want the crazy rebels. Maybe you want to qualify. I want the loving rebels, not the insane rebels, you know. So if some of you all reach the limit and you know you don't want to waste any more time and you do want to be who you really are and express that, that's one of the things that we're focusing on this Saturday in this seminar that I'm doing. You know, it's creating the new. That's what it's about. It's about creating the new.
It seems a little edgy that this morning I had this experience of just realizing and focusing on my conflict is my defense against the truth.
Uh-huh.
And seeing
that path laid down. Wow. That's
powerful. I was like a professional.
Uh-huh.
PhD.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so this morning I have this experience of, I get it. I get that this is not what I want. But it's like walking off a cliff.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what the other stuff is.
Yeah.
And it was really, really frightening.
Yeah.
And then I just said, you know what? I can't make up what it is because I tried that and it's all more bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, I went for a run because it calmed me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I'm going to know that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to know that Holy Spirit has this figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And little things started to come back into focus and... You know, we want to know what does that enlightened person look like? And we can't know because we're unique.
Mm-hmm.
That's the volition of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's that unique creation.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to jump.
Yeah, let's hold hands and jump together.
Because you can't stay in the cliff.
But we won't be jumping. But we won't be jumping without the ultimate safety net.
Yep.
See, that's the truth.
You just don't know what it's going to look like.
The form, we don't know the form of it. We know the content of it. The content of it is going to be peace and love.
Yeah.
The form is what's going to be adapted to our unique personalities, and that's what makes it so cool. You know what I'm saying? Like Earl's heaven version is not going to look like somebody else's. Just to remind me where I'm at. That's real.
That's a weird dream.
And people always comment, so I always know when I got a phone call.
Sure.
I like it because it's like, yeah, Earl, you need to get your stuff together. Anybody that hasn't had a chance to sign it, need to sign it. The email, the contact list. Thank you. That's what I love about having more time. Like Saturday, I have more time and I'm creating this thing from scratch. So I'm really excited about what I'm going to do.
Remind me of a funny story, sorry.
Go ahead.
But it's just reminding me of like one of my boys first found out that his idea of Santa Claus wasn't what he thought it was. And so he looked at me and says, "You mean all of this stuff is all bullshit?" Just wait.
But what's so cool about that, though, is it gives you an opportunity to see what is real. You know what I'm saying? It's not until you recognize what's not real. Like, it wasn't until the Course says, "I cannot teach you what love is." He said, "You should not be seeking the truth. You should be seeking what's not true." Which I thought was so different, you know. It's like the truth will reveal itself. But your problem is you don't know when something's not real.
Yeah, right.
And if you knew how to recognize what wasn't love, then you could recognize love. You know, yeah. Jealousy isn't love. Fear isn't love. Limitation isn't love. Attack isn't love. Bargaining isn't love.
Wow.
You know. That's not love. But then people go, "Ooh, that's all I do." Well, I hate to break it to you, but it kind of explains your relationship, right? You know, there's a connection there because nothing is more frightening to a fearful mind than the idea of freedom. You want to scare a fearful mind to death?
Yeah.
Talk freedom. Fearful minds need limitations and lots of rules and lots of restrictions in order to feel safe. So the more afraid a person is, the more boundaries they need around them. That's why it's important to honor your boundaries, because if you don't honor your boundaries, you will not give yourself peace. Because if you need to have certain boundaries for you to feel peace, and you don't give yourself those boundaries, you don't let yourself feel peace. And then once you feel peace, now you can get your guidance, and then you can renegotiate the boundaries. So the boundaries don't ever have to be permanent, but don't lie to yourself about it. Like people hear love is freedom, and then they start trying to give more freedom than they're able to give in a relationship. Freak themselves totally out. You know what I'm saying? I've seen it so many times in these kind of classes. People are trying to live their idealized self and lose touch with who they really are right now. So I always tell people, you know, just be honest enough in your relationships to tell the person that you're entering a relationship with what the boundaries are that you need in order for you to function in a relationship peacefully. Then that gives them an opportunity to say yay or nay. Then if they got the same, if they need the same boundaries, and they're going to agree with you, and they'll love you so much because they feel like they can trust you. And y'all can trust each other because you need the same thing right now. So always share with people. Try to connect with people who are similar to you, who want to move forward, rather than try to hook up with somebody that's far beyond you, that just scared the hell out of you all the time. That was something I had to learn in my relationships and doing this stuff. It's a difference between the person saying, I want to be with you, and I want to grow with the way you grow, and I want to be what you are, and then being actually able to do that. Mm-hmm. And because what happens is they scare themselves, and they end up projecting on you. But if you go, hey, you know, we both got the same similar issues, you know, this is the boundary I need, like you need, you know, it's like, I need a monogamous relationship. If I'm not in a monogamous relationship, I can't handle that. Okay, I respect the person that'll say that. You know, or a person that knows that's what they need, but then they say they're ready for a more open relationship. But they know doggone well that's not where they're at right now. They just scare themselves half to death. What I disagree with is judging it. Like saying any particular lifestyle is the one that's the right one. No, it's right for you. You know, that's where I look at it. I don't try to project my rules on everybody else. I don't expect everybody else to live by my rules. But I need to be honest enough with the person to say, these are my rules that I live by. Is that something that you can handle? And then they'll go yes or no. But most people don't do that. They won't be honest. I watch people get in relationships, and they'll be devoted truth students, and they'll say something like, they won't tell the person that they're dating that they're into the course of the truth or metaphysics. They'll hide it from them. You know, and they don't realize that, well, you start the whole, what are you doing with somebody that you need to hide what you say you're about with? I mean, from the very beginning, really cute. You know, it's not more complicated than that. You know, dude make a lot of money. I like him. You know what I'm saying? It's like whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So today, try not to make any decisions by yourself. If you do, remind yourself that you forgot what to decide. And then you go back and go, okay, this is what I like to happen, and this can happen if I don't make any decisions by myself. I want another way to look at this. And if you really take a moment to go, I want another way to look at this, all of you have studied enough truth that if you really honestly did that, you would get another way you could look at it, because you've already studied enough to have at least 9 or 10 of them, right? Yeah, and then don't beat yourself up about your feelings. So if you're not feeling happy and you're angry, just go, hey, you know what happened? I've already made up my mind about what the answer should be, and somehow or another, this isn't going the way I thought it should, so I forgot what to decide. I made some kind of decision by myself again. So I want another way to look at it. Mm-hmm. And just see, and then just take a breath, like that old count to 10 thing. It works. Mm-hmm. Somebody's talking to you and you're finding yourself feeling defensive. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're going to have to count to 1,000. If that's what's necessary, because you know how we do. When we go off, we usually end up saying something we wish we had not said. It might feel good in the moment, you know, while you're doing that, adrenaline is running, but later on you go, I probably could have handled that differently. You know. You know. That's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop here. It's it is 1 o'clock, and do the love offering. Even if you go out here today and you cuss everybody out and give everybody a finger till you go to bed tonight, if you can go to bed asking for another way to look at it, then you're getting it. You know, you're getting it. Yeah. It's cool. You don't have to be perfect on the way to perfection.
Can I just say something about your Saturday class? Uh-huh. I did to every one of them, I think, and the day flies. He talks the whole time, and it just seems like it's 10 minutes.
And this one is going to be more also things, a real emphasis on things that a person can immediately apply and take into their experience to change it. So it's going to be more of a blend of things that I'm sharing, but also things that you can apply and do. The emphasis is going to be on application. Because that's what we need right now. When I go out of here, when I go out of here, how do I, what can I do when somebody's freaking out around me or something's freaking out or I need to remember? What do I do? How can I, you know?
When
you're freaking out. Yeah. So I appreciate you all. I'll see you the next time. You're awesome. Let's give it to us. I always like to give it to us. That's how we attract it to people.